Greetings and welcome to this week's Ohio State 360 podcast. And we're going to continue along with our coaches' interviews. The coach of the cross-country teams at Ohio State is Sarah Mason Vergote. She's kind enough to join us on this week's podcast. Sarah, thanks for your time. It's fall. It's been beautiful. What a time right now to be out, to be running. And congratulations on a fine fall to this point. Your women are ranked 20th. Your men continue to compete at a high level. How is the season going for your teams?
Great. Thanks for having me. On the women's side, we came in last year. We finished 15th at the NCAA Championships. And I'm fortunate to return my entire women's roster. So,
how much of a luxury is that?
It's incredible. And you know what? I have the same thing's going to happen next year, too. So I have a stud group of women who have who proved themselves last year and will all be back again next year. So, yeah, I'm very fortunate on that front. And so far, so good. We're just getting into the thick of things now.
Women are ranked 20th this week. What makes up the rankings? And it's a little different than like football, for instance. Can you give me an idea of kind of your competition and how you get into those rankings? Obviously, your times will certainly matter, right?
Sure, yeah. So we don't compete a regular season schedule like the rest of the sports here. We run in large invitationals, so we see competition from across the country pretty much every other week. So this week, as we head to Virginia, we'll see schools from all the major conferences. But the way our national poll works is there's about 30 coaches in the country that vote on that poll, and so it's basically their opinion. And we appreciate the props, but I think we're a little bit better than that.
You were at Wright State earlier this year competing. You've also been in Madison. You'll be going back to Madison for the Big Tens. And those come up still in a few weeks. Actually, the Big Ten weekend is not until late October. So with Correct. Charlottesville this weekend, some time in between, how much of what you guys are doing is a practice regimen? And I guess what does the long distance, how does it affect how you guys train and ultimately produce when you compete?
So we're headed to Charlottesville this weekend with the women's team, mainly because that is that's the site of the NCAA championships this year. So different from a lot of other sports, every time we run a cross-country race, the course is different. So for me, it's important that we have a look at the course before we're expected to do really well there. Another benefit of being at the Virginia meet this weekend is kind of the way that you qualify for the NCAA championships is by beating teams from other regions. And so I think this meet this weekend will feature 16 or 18 ranked teams in the country all in one race. And so it's a unique situation for us to be able to go head to head with some of the better teams in the country and hopefully pick up some wins on them that'll help us make the national meet in November.
And the next week you'll be in Chicago, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Next week, it's similar situation, different competition. And next week I'll take both the men's and women's squad. So the men don't race quite as much as the women do because the men's cross country race is actually significantly longer than the women's race. So the women run 6K, which is just under 4 miles, and the men run 8K, which is 5 miles.
What makes this women's team so distinctual? And I guess who are some of the you've got a former player of a runner rather of the week on the women's squad we saw in Addie Engel. But what makes up some of the personalities and those that run for the women's side that's made you guys stick out?
So I think what's super unique about our women's squad is that virtually my entire roster is from the state of Ohio. And we have we've done it that way with intention. I've found both in cross country and track, kids that are from Ohio running for the Buckeyes, being a part of the Ohio State community, it means something to them, and there's a different level of pride that comes with that. So I think for us, obviously our top runner on the team is Addie Engel. She's from a little small division school, Springfield Catholic. I think she graduated with about 60 people, played soccer, cross country, swam, ran track, did all that stuff. And so, last week, Addie was the national runner of the week, and she's also the defending Big Ten champion in cross country. So I have her. And then my other top two runners are Daniela Santos from Hilliard, and then Andrea Kuhn, who ran at Watkins. So I think we have one of the best 1-2-3 punches in the nation. And yeah, it's a great group of women who really, really work hard and fight for each other.
Engel, Santos, Kuhn, all region last year, and certainly all Big Ten as well. Our guest is Sarah Mason Vergote, who is the women's cross country coach, the men's cross country coach at Ohio State. Sarah, your story is intriguing to me in that you came on and you're in your second year and you talk about Ohio, and we'll get into that. You're a Toledo alum, so you understand what it's like to run here. But tell us about how you got into coaching at Ohio State from your past and the promotion that you've seen from when Karen Dennis stepped away and how that all worked.
Yeah, sure. So I actually grew up in Northern Michigan, which I don't say too loudly around here.
It's all right. It's a beautiful place this time of year.
It is. It is. It's awesome. So my folks still live there. My family still lives there. But, you know, it was always I got into coaching. It just kind of found me. My first coaching job was at Manhattan College in the Bronx and moved around a little bit. And about 10 years ago, Karen Dennis, Hall of Fame coach, and really just a huge mentor and influence in my life, took a chance on me and hired me. And so I came on and was just coaching the women's program. And as you mentioned, 2 years ago, I was fortunate enough to be able to take over the men's program as well. And so the men's program is plugging along nicely. And I feel like in over the next 2 or 3 years, we can be in a similar spot as the women's program.
You have built just in that brief time of the women's program. I mean, we talked about last year already, a 15th finish. What has the success and how has the success helped you not only in maintaining with this roster coming back, but the future? And how has that, I'm guessing, like any success for any program at Ohio State, helped you to build your recruiting base?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like you mentioned before, I ran at the University of Toledo. I also coached there for a period of time, and I've been here at Ohio State for 10 years. And so I feel like I have built a very strong relationship with the high school coaches in the state of Ohio. Any opportunity I have to engage with their teams, if they invite me to come talk at their camp, if I can talk at Ohio Coaches Clinic, I take that opportunity. And so I feel like our reputation is good within the state of Ohio. Certainly, coaches know that if they're going to send their kids to run here, they're going to get better. But also, more importantly, we're going to take great care of them holistically. So, yeah, the success certainly helps my cause tremendously in those conversations.
Sarah, cross country is certainly a longer distance situation for your runners. But can you watch a short distance runner or vice versa and perhaps try to integrate them into what you're trying to do or the other way around?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, one perfect example of that, we have a sophomore on our team right now, Anaya Mosley, and she's someone who actually she's one of the couple of women on the team that aren't from Ohio. Anaya's from Virginia, but she came in as an 800-meter runner last year, had some success for us in the 800, and loves being around the cross-country team. And so she worked really hard this summer to get better at the longer distances. And surprisingly, and also not surprisingly, I think she's going to find herself in the top five for us this year. So, you know, distance running is something that takes time to develop, but you also have to have, I would say, kind of a crazy mindset to be able to do it. It's a long time to be by yourself,
right,
with your own thoughts, and it's a long time to hurt. So it's certainly a unique group of individuals that I have the privilege of working with.
Hey, Buckeye fans, whether you're stocking up for your tailgate party or just inviting a few friends over to watch the game, the Kroger app is an easy way to get all the great food and drinks for game day. Kroger, fresh for everyone. What would be your advice, Sarah, and we're speaking with Sarah Mason Vergote on this week's 360 podcast. What would be your advice to high school youngsters, male or female, that are training, that are running maybe a high school cross country? What would you tell them about taking that next step as they continue to enjoy their high school career right now?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing is cross country is it's a great thing to be involved with. I think a lot of kids in high school find themselves in cross country because they're not good at other sports. Like, you know, I have a lot of guys on my team that would have, you know, they'll tell you they started out playing football and they were good at the running drills at the end of practice. So, you know, I think if you find yourself in it, it's a great sport in that what you put into it is exactly what you get back out of it. You know, there's a talent component, but I have athletes on the team who maybe weren't the most talented when they were freshmen in high school who just outworked everybody. And so, you know, it's one of those sports. If you're a hobby jogger or if you're doing it at a high level, you know, the first little bit of it is not fun, is not pleasant, but the more you do it, the easier it gets. And the better you get. So, my biggest piece of advice to anyone who runs is just to stick with it. It's a great sport to be involved with.
Sarah, you're terrific. Sports Information Director Leanne Parker points out a few things perhaps about your program that she believes is unique. One of them being runners that continue to develop and grow and be in your program have improved as the years and the time there has gone. What would you attribute to that? And are you the sole person responsible? Or I'm guessing you have a staff and others that help out in coaching these youngsters as well.
You know, I think a key component to our success is that, you know, we talk a lot about how running isn't, it's not glamorous. And there's a lot of time where it sucks. It's not fun. So I do my best to make sure that practice is everybody's favorite part of the day.
How so?
I work with a real,
yeah.
You know, I work with a pretty, if you're a distance runner, you're kind of a type A person. You're usually wound a little tighter than your average student, I think. And so, whereas other coaches are, you know, having to instill a lot of discipline and, maybe come at it with that approach. I think with the type of kids that I work with, I actually have to do a lot more of talking about we need to chill out a little bit and we need to have fun and we need to just take it easy. So I think we keep it fun. And you know, the kids on the team, they're each other's best friends. So I think that's a big part of it. They've bought into the program, the training program, and they certainly bought into me, and I'm very appreciative of that. So but yeah, I'm part of the track and field staff here. Obviously, I'm the distance coach for track and field as well. So there's six of us full time in the track and field offices. But then I also have an incredible volunteer assistant coach in Eric Brill, and he's been with me for the past 8 years and is kind of my sounding board and the person that keeps me sane, keeps me even, and also is just super helpful with the student athletes on the team.
Sarah, is there a little bit of a seasonal blend, a mix over? Obviously, you're probably training or assisting with, as you mentioned, track and field right now with cross country going on. But do you see a little bit of that in the spring as well with some of these cross country athletes?
Yeah, every student athlete on our team is a three sport athlete here at Ohio State. So once we finish the cross country season, we'll take a little break. And then in January, we start right back up with indoor track, and then we move right into outdoor track. So, yeah, it's a heavy load, and, you know, we do everything we can to ease that. But the kids on the team, they love track and field as well, so they know that's part of the deal.
Tell me about your time in Toledo. You mentioned the Tide of the State, the Buckeye State, the Buckeyes athletes mm-hmm. that you – Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what was your time running up there like? And I guess how much interaction is there throughout the state with this sport?
So, yeah, my family was originally from Toledo, and so that's kind of how I ended up back in, like, I grew up in Northern Michigan. As I mentioned, I ended up running at Toledo. And, you know, I went to a small high school in Northern Michigan where not very many people actually went to college. So, for me, Toledo was a big enough place. But my time at Toledo, you know, we started as a pretty terrible program in the MAC. And by the time I graduated, we, you know, we had a couple of teams make NCAA championship events. And so, you know, that really kind of shaped me and shaped my love for the sport. There's no question about it.
You also were at Iowa State, right, as an assistant.
Correct.
And I know they've got a great Correct. Tradition there for their running programs as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Iowa State.
Did they help
kind of
you out?
First.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my first, I would call that my first real big girl job in a Power Five conference. I was one of three distance coaches there. And, you know, truth be told, my job there was to recruit. So, like, I was all over the country because Iowa doesn't have as many great runners within their state. You know, as I have the luxury of being able to stay in the state of Ohio and get a lot of great runners. And you couldn't really do that at Iowa State. So I spent my time there on the phone and traveling a lot. So that was good for me in terms of my development and in my ability to recruit. And I worked with a great head coach there, Corey Immels, who is kind of the backbone of how I train kids now, for sure.
Hey, Buckeye fans, did you know the Kroger app gives you easy access to weekly sales, personalized coupons, and fuel points as well? Check out the app today and save while you get ready for game day. Kroger, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. A few more minutes here with Sarah Mason-Vergote, the head cross country coach at Ohio State, the men and the women. They're competing this weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia. And you talked about, Sarah, seeing these courses multiple times. For those of us that don't really follow a ton of cross country but understand the sport, I would be included in that. Can you tell me about the course differences? And I guess it's like probably scouting when you're looking at teams that you're going to be competing against. In cross country, you're kind of competing against the course. Is that a fair comparison?
Yeah, that's 100% accurate. I mean, so to give you an example, when we hosted the Big Ten Cross Country Championships here at Ohio State, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, we hosted it at the Ohio State Golf Course. So, you know, it's relatively flat. It's perfectly manicured grass. Like, it's a fast, relatively easy course. In contrast to that, last year at the NCAA Championships, we were at Oklahoma State, where if you were just a regular person walking on the course, there's a few hills on that course where it would be beneficial to be on your hands and knees instead of upright walking up. So it's a hilly, difficult course. So you never really know what you're going to get. Sometimes it's on a golf course, sometimes it's in the woods and, you know, on grass and on dirt. So it just depends on what the host institution puts out there for you to deal with.
I want to end with some easy layups or some topics that are less about the profession, more about the broader picture, if you don't mind, Sarah. So
let's,
I guess, a little bit in tune to what's going on with name, image, and likeness. Has it affected cross country, your program, or what is the view on that, I guess, from 5,000 feet?
I think it's having a less of an impact on our sport in general than maybe, you know, obviously football, volleyball, basketball, those sports. You know, there are certainly NIL opportunities for our student athletes. I know, you know, a couple of our track athletes have been in some local commercials and things of this nature. But as far as like big money being put into NIL, it's not as much of a factor in recruiting yet for us, I would say.
In that regard, and I know you're in season, but I've got to think there's a weekend here or there where you guys are able to enjoy a football Saturday. Is that something fair to say? Because a lot of the programs, even though we've talked to this point, talk about the camaraderie and the relationship building within being at a football game on a football Saturday, which is kind of what we all come together for at this time of year.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, like last weekend for us was an off weekend. And I don't know if people are aware, but once a year, the athletic department has what they call the Scarlet and Gray game, where they invite all the student athletes to come to the game. They all sit together. They come down on the field. And so sometimes that happens when we're competing. But this year we were fortunate enough to all be here for that. And I know that my entire team went and had a blast and was able to spend time with other student athletes. And obviously on this campus, with the facilities and where our kids are at on a day-to-day basis, they're able to interact with quite a bit of the student athletes on campus, which is awesome.
Sarah, we've talked to a number of coaches for this podcast. I'll ask you just like them to reflect on what Gene Smith has meant to you, to the university, as he gets set for retirement this coming summer.
Yeah, I think I speak for all of us when I say that we're very sad to see him go. I've worked at several universities, and Gene is the best of the best. And he's a true coach's athletic director. And, you know, when anytime anybody asks me about Gene Smith, I tell him a story about my first year here. You know, there's 36 sports at Ohio State. I'm the cross country coach. I had just been hired. My women's team ran well at some dinky little meet, preseason meet at Kentucky. And we were at the coaches meeting. Gene Smith comes up to me, refers to me by my first name, and tells me how great the women did that weekend. And, you know, this is a guy that knows the coaches well. He knows the student athletes well. He knows the staff well. Yeah, I just can't say enough great things about him. He's been incredible.
And finally, we'll let you in, like we do with a lot of the coaches, talking about your family, the impact they have on you, your profession, your team, your job. It's an integral part, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I'm in an interesting situation right now in that I have a four-year-old and a two-year-old. So
lucky you.
I'm sleeping now though, so I'm a new woman. But yeah, I'm fortunate. My wife is a Spanish professor here on campus at Ohio State, and
¿Cómo se llama?
Yeah, that's Rebecca. So we live over in Clintonville, and we're just so happy to be part of the Ohio State community and really the community in Columbus. It's a great place to live and certainly a wonderful place to work.
Sarah, much continued success, not only this weekend in Charlottesville, but all the weekends coming up as you guys continue your year. We appreciate your time and we wish you all the best.
Thank you. I appreciate the love for cross country. Thanks for taking the time too.
Sarah Mason-Vergote, our guest on Ohio State 360 podcast.